Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Alcohol Addiction Podcast. Do you know, one of the beautiful things about being in California is the lack of clouds. It's always makes the world look so big. And there's a few of them spotted around today. Can't really remember my geography, but they're not nimbocumulus. They're flat. Is it stratus? And there's a few little flat ones, and the sun is just rising, and it's giving it a nice red hue, and it looks beautiful. And it's, apart from the cars, it's very quiet this time in the morning as well. If you ever get the opportunity, whenever you're working on something like the taster or the intensive, and you've become someone who doesn't want to drink alcohol, and you start thinking about filling the white space, and then you look at your household, and it's a mess. You've got three dogs running around, four kids ripping it up, a husband sat on his ass drinking beer, not caring about the world. And you're thinking, when are you going to fit it all in? This ain't a bad time. Waking up 1 hour earlier, when it's peace and quiet, you'd be surprised how much you can get done. And one of the things that this actually blends in quite nice to what I wanted to talk about on my morning stroll to Starbucks. I should start asking Starbucks for sponsorship money, actually, and often I talk about them here. I've got to be honest, although I go to Starbucks to work, I'm not a great supporter of the place, to be honest. It is the best of a bad bunch of coffee shops when it comes to comfort. It's obviously not designed for people like me to work there long term. It's designed to get you in and out because it's still really uncomfortable to sit down. There's nothing for vegans to eat here, which I found astounding being in California. At least in the UK, they've just started to offer one wrap, a jackfruit wrap. Woo! But there's nothing to eat. And one of the things that makes me laugh about Starbucks, and in a way it reminds me of alcoholism as an invisible violent donor belief system, is every time I go to the toilet, there's this hand dryer in there with a Starbucks sticker on that says something like, "Starbucks, we care about the world," or something. which is quite ridiculous when you think that they're probably, the rate that they've been growing, one of the biggest peddlers of diabetes in the world. Because if you figure out how much sugar they're putting out in the world to people, selling quite an addictive substance there, and you compare that to like McDonald's and a furore comes out of McDonald's and stuff, I don't know, I'm not a betting man, but I'd like to think that Starbucks are chucking out more sugar than McDonald's is. You know, McDonald's had a bit of an ear bashing, didn't they, for having so much sugar in all their stuff. But there you are. I will wave that cognitive dissonance away because it's the only place that I can work at the moment. What was I going to talk about? It wasn't Starbucks, it was death. 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 So, I was listening to Sam Harris's Waking Up app. He has meditations on there. So far, none of them have been longer than 10 minutes. I've been trying to do two a day. One before I go to bed. One sometime this morning when I'm at Starbucks. Joe Dispenza from Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself says that the best time to meditate is in the morning and in the night, because that is the time when you will not be in a beta wave state. I can't remember what state we're in first thing in the morning and last at night, but I think we're closer to alpha state. So basically what he's saying is, if like we're in beta state, which if you're someone like me who's 100 mile an hour thinking about work, doing work and stuff, then I'm in beta state a lot. And if that means if I'm in beta state a lot, then that means it's going to be very difficult for me to get into my subconscious mind. And if I can't get into my subconscious mind, then I'm going to find it really difficult to meditate and connect thinking with feeling. So that's why he's saying meditate in the morning and at night. I guess it's because when you wake up, you're still pretty sleepy. And when you go to bed, you're sleepy, right? So I guess sleepiness and alpha brainwave states are kind of compatible. So that's why he's saying to do it in the morning and in the evening. And that gave me food for thought, actually. Something I need to think about for a future podcast or to incorporate in intensive is, you know, when we're in a beta wave state, we become very analytical, very rational, very logical. And of course, we need to be in that very rational, logical, analytical mind in order to rewire our neurological connections that tell us that alcohol is normal and pleasurable. However, if we are in that state and we are doing that work, then we are less likely to get into the subconscious mind, which is where we need to do the unwiring, because it's the subconscious mind, the cerebellum, where our habits and our blueprint and our VHS recorders, as VHS tapes of life, are stored. So I might drop him a question, I might drop him an email and ask him a question about that, actually. But anyway, I was listening to Sam Harris this last night, and he has, alongside his meditations, he has these little lessons which are anywhere from like 2-3 minutes up to 10 minutes long. He has them on boredom, the meaning of life, all different types of stuff. And I was listening to one on death last night, and Sam Harris was saying how impressive it is how much time and energy we spend on a daily basis trying to avoid death. So in a minute I'm going to cross the road, and whilst I do that, I'm trying to avoid getting run over. Every moment of my life when I'm in California, when I'm conscious anyway, I'm always on the eye out for some potential threat or other. Definitely more heightened than I am when I live in Cardiff. So he said, we do spend an incredible amount of time trying to avoid dying. I don't think a lot about death itself. It's not something that consumes me or is an issue psychologically. It doesn't create anxiety and stress. If anything, I use the thought of death, and I guess I do think about it the older I get, because I'm going to be 44 next month. I think for me, I use death as a kick up the arse, and that's what I wanted to talk about today. I mentioned in the a podcast called Choose a Corner, when I was watching the film Creed 2, that one of the reasons that I cried a lot in that movie, partly because the story writers did such a good job in terms of eking out the vulnerability in parenthood, made me think about my relationship with Jude, but also because Adonis Creed became the champion of the world. Like, he, against all the odds, he went from being a bum to a champ. And I'm not saying that I'm not saying I'm a bum. I don't think I'm a bum. But that same narrative drives my life, that same theme. And we talk about theme a lot in the Freedom module of the intensive. You know, what theme guides your life? And mine is a combination of transformation and service. So when I watch a movie like Creed 2, where Adonis he's not serving anybody, is he? He's not like, it's not clear in that movie that he's giving his money to anyone. I mean, it's clear in that movie, actually, that the theme for me is parenthood. But, you know, he's also transforming himself. So he's actually becoming a better father. He's becoming a better all-round human being. He's obviously becoming a better boxer because he's winning the heavyweight championship of the world, and he's defending it against somebody who's much bigger and stronger than him. So there's a theme of transformation there. And that theme speaks to me. So I get emotionally charged by it, to the point of tears coming out of my eyes, because I know that I'm not the heavyweight champion of the world yet. and it reminds me that I have work to do. Now, my heavyweight championship belt that I'm going to be given is not because I step in the ring and trade blows with the person in front of me, and I win if I knock him on the floor. Every hero's journey has a villain, and in Creed's case it was Drago's boy, Victor Drago. Mine is alcohol, and I haven't beaten alcohol. I haven't knocked it on the deck until I reach a place where I feel comfortable that I've helped a million people become people that don't drink alcohol. So if I think about that goal of mine, then dying becomes a little bit of a nuisance, right? Because what Sam Harris reminded me last night, not taught me, because we all know this, what Sam Harris reminded me last night was about the brevity of life. He spoke about road rage being a good example. Now, this is one that I actually don't suffer from, which is balmy considering how angry I am. So let's say you're in a car and you're driving along the road and there's someone in front of you driving a little bit slow, which happens a lot in Ogmore Vale. So many people stick with a 30 mile an hour speed limit. Driving behind someone who's slow, and you start to get really annoyed with that person, and you might beep the horn, you might tailgate them, wind the window down and shout and stick your fingers out at them. Now, what he's asking you to do is just to think about and have gratitude in your life in that moment, you know, that your children and your family are alive and safe, and you're not being raised in a dictatorial state where people are rounding you up and killing you and raping and murdering your family. You're probably got all the needs that you need in life via Maslow's hierarchy, right? So probably got your food and your water and your shelter, especially if you're listening to this podcast. And you got friends around you, or even if you've lost all your loved ones and your friends, you've got the capability of finding more people. You've got the intellect, you've got the Western upbringing, you've got schooling systems, you've got the ability to walk down the street without really worrying that someone's going to kill you, you know. So you've got all these things going on. You've got every single moment to tell everybody that you love them and to spend every moment with them. He said, like, it's like you're playing a video game, but you can't see the countdown clock. You have no idea how much time you have left on this earth, but eventually you are going to die. And the person in front of the car, you don't know them, you've never met them, you're likely never going to meet them. But you do kind of know that if you were to tap into the brain, that they likely have the same worries and concerns around the world as you do. But they're also in the same spot, having the same gratitude as you. And here you are spending, wasting your energy in what is the briefest moment on this speck of a planet and speck of time that we have, harassing and getting angry about the fact that this car is going slow. And what Sam is trying to, the point he's trying to get across is to be more mindful through meditation and mindfulness practices, to understand that life is so short, life is so fleeting, life is so brief. My son is going to be 18 in 2 months' time. It's almost like yesterday he was born. In 18 years' time, it would be a minor miracle if one of my parents on both sides of the family has not passed away. A minor miracle, right? Because they're getting old now. Their lives are in their 70s. So each moment that we have is very, very important. In 18 years, what will I be? 50s, I'll be like 65, 66. I'll be collecting my pension. You know, it's like, and that will go so quickly. So we have to start chilling out and slowing down a bit and enjoying life, okay? Even if life is tough for you. So a good example is in 2009 when I decided to leave the railway. I left because it was my calling to leave. But also pivotal to the decision was this managing director who I didn't get along with. Like, he made me feel bad. Like, his values and the way that he dominated didn't jive with mine. So I wanted to leave. But I remember that my life coach at the time telling me, well, you don't have to play this game, Lee. This is just one option to leave. You could figure out what this guy wants, which is for me to be subservient to him. And you can play the game. And you can get back to enjoying your time on the railway, enjoying the things that you like about it. So, if you're gonna drive to work, rather than beep your horn at someone and get all aggressive, enjoy that moment. Listen to a podcast, my podcast, David Burns, Feeling Good, Sam Harris, Waking Up, Russell Brand, Under the Skin, Annie Grace, This Naked Mind, and educate yourself, learn more, and put on a comedian tape, make you laugh. Put on a tape of your daughter. Like, my wife constantly watches videos of our kid, Zia, who we spend every day with anyway. And I take the mickey out of her for it, but look what she's doing. She's doing something that she loves to do that brings her joy, right? So try, it doesn't matter what you're doing today. If you're gonna put the washing out, if you're gonna take the dog for a walk, if you're gonna take the garbage out, if you're gonna draw something with your kid, if you're gonna pick them up from school, if you're gonna go to the dry cleaners, if you're gonna go to the supermarket, turn it into an enjoyable experience by changing the way that you think about life. And especially understanding that it could be your very last moment. You could, on the way to the dry cleaners, while you're tailgating and beeping this old fuddy-duddy in front of you, you could be dead in the next 10 minutes. So how do you want to direct your energy in life? And people say, I remember watching Adrian Charles' Drinkers Like Me. There was a woman on there who quite clearly was suffering from the death effect. And she turned around and said to Adrian, I was diagnosed with cancer. I thought I was going to die. And I thought to myself, do you know what? I have to live every day like it's my last. And I liked what she said up to that point. And then she said, so if I want to drink, I'm going to drink. Well, I didn't like that bit. Because if I'm going to live every day like it's my last, then I need to think to myself, where are my core values? What is important to me? Now, do you know what's important to me? Showing up for other people. Not for myself. You know, if I'm going to die tomorrow, I'm not going to go down my bucket list goal and start traveling around the world, visiting Machu Picchu and wrestling naked with 15 women in baked beans, right? I'm going to think to myself, what do I need to do to kind of like cross the T's and dot the I's before I die? And do you know what it will be? It will be making sure that systems are in place to ensure that the goal of helping 1 million people become people who don't drink alcohol are set. That my wife is set. That I've spent enough time with my kids to give them all the messages as much as I can that I want to do in life. It will all be about serving other people, right? So we need to ask ourselves, are we showing up on a daily basis to the best of our ability so we can serve other people and help other people? And if you're drinking alcohol, the answer is unequivocally no, because you are not there, you are not present. You are a zombie. You are being wholly controlled by alcoholism as an invisible, violent, and dominant belief system, right? And so if you do say to yourself, I'm gonna die, so I'm just gonna fucking make every moment my last, I'm just gonna drink myself, I'm just gonna enjoy drinking and smoking, taking drugs, etc., etc. For me, that's a very selfish way of looking at life, or it could be a very selfish way of looking at life, if I didn't have the compassion, which I do, of the fact that you're stuck in this invisible, violent, dominant belief system, and you don't know you're stuck in it, right? But now you're listening to this, I hope you can see that every single day, irrespective, like that person who was told she was going to die of cancer, she all of a sudden was told she was going to die. But we all know we're going to die, right? So you can now make a choice today, knowing, I've just reminded you that you're going to die. So you can now make a choice about how you're going to be, what state of being are you going to exist in for the remainder of your brief time on this planet. Are you going to be spaced out? Are you going to remove that precious time from your life by either having a hangover or blacking out or behaving in a stupor that's not even you? Or are you going to be as present as you can be for other people who rely on you and need your guidance, okay? Are you going to be there for them? Because if you are there for them, guess what will happen, okay? Joy and happiness will come to your life, which means you're there for yourself as well. I'm Lee Davey. I'm not an alcoholic. I am refusing to be anonymous. I'm someone that doesn't drink alcohol and can die any minute now. So I'm going to spend that time chilling and relaxing, walking to Starbucks, okay? And I'm hoping to help other people do the same. Take care yourselves.
Ruth said she loved where she was just after 30 days of working on the Truth About Alcohol Taster. Sue said the Truth About Alcohol Taster was hand on heart the best decision she ever made. I have learned that alcohol is no place in my life and I am no longer alone, said Rhonda. Jennifer said the intensive helped her beyond just quitting drinking. She now leads a fuller, more awakened life. Nikki said the intensive brought a depth of awareness that has changed the way she now views the world. Talking about the intensive, Maureen said, "You will not regret taking this experience, but you will regret passing it up. Shit gets real. You are in it. And that, for me, is reason enough to dive in. The self-growth and discovery it offers is profound, as are the connections you make." Talking about Strive, Bonnie said, "The people in Strive felt like new friends with lots of wonderful support for each other." Tony said, "Strive is inclusive and supportive. There is so much empathy, understanding, and encouragement. And this is where I am not a number on a balance sheet. This is where I found home." Julian said, "I believe we are defined by the people and ideas we surround ourselves with. And so the warmth, support, and personal growth I have found at Strive make it the place I want to be, the place I have to be." You drank alone. Do not quit alone. Head to thetruthaboutalcohol.co.uk and invest in yourself today. Become someone that doesn't drink alcohol.